back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And I'm Kyle.
How's it going, Kyle?
It's going, man.
Good.
Per usual, same shit, different day.
Good. We're sitting here getting ready to record our episodes. My water heater exploded, so that was sick.
Yeah.
It didn't actually explode, but it kind of caught on fire a little bit.
A little bit.
Crisis averted.
Narrowly, but yeah, it was averted.
Yeah. Anyway, no more Stardust Ranch. We wrap that saga up. We hope you guys enjoyed it.
Womp, 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 womp.
Gonna switch things up a little bit. Kyle's got some Bigfoot stories.
Yeah.
Pretty
I figured we'd change it up. We ain't talked about the old Bigfoot in a while.
Yeah. So we're gonna go that route today after we get through the business. Speaking of the business, check us out at all our social medias. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast, and we are there. Come over and hang out with us. Share weird shit you find. Memes. The whole nine. Just be a community and hang out. If you've got a listener experience you'd like to submit, Kyle's going to tell you how to do it.
You can use your smartphone and get in to anything that can record, i.e. voice memo app, your video, whatever you got going on. Record your story, shoot it over to the email, which is going to be hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. Or you can simply write your stories out and then shoot them over to the email where we will then, well, Steve will then read them and then we'll talk about them on the show.
Or you could just record them so I don't have to read them.
Well, Steve likes to read low key. He acts like he doesn't, but he does.
None of that's true.
It makes him feel special.
Anyway, we have a couple ways you can support the podcast. We got a Venmo if you'd like to throw some monster money in there. We appreciate that. Keeps these things fresh.
Yeah.
Well, damn, Kyle's got one today too. Hell yeah. Hollow Sky Podcast on that thing. And leave us a few bucks if you want.
I've been waiting all day for that. So good.
Just hit the spot.
Dude, a word from the unofficial sponsor. Monster's fantastic.
It's pretty tasty.
It's awesome.
I wish it still had the caffeine effect that it used to, like the first time I drank it.
A little bit of go-go juice.
No, there's nothing.
You hit it.
I could drink like 1,600 of these a day and it wouldn't affect me.
I wish that I could without it blowing up my heart.
I've tried. It doesn't work. Anyway, we also have a Patreon. If you would like to support the show that way, go over there, check out a tier, see what kind of cool shit you can get, which I got to get on the ball and ship some stickers out. We got a lot of new patrons. Thanks to everybody over there.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
You guys are dope. We also release some extra content. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's getting pretty fucking interesting. I really enjoyed the whole new segment Steve picked out. The style of it, everything just works well for us.
Hell yeah.
So hopefully you guys enjoy it a lot. Because that's probably what we're going to do a whole lot of.
We created this game called Roll the Dice, where Kyle rolls some dice. And that's about it.
That's all you normies are entitled to.
Anyway, we're getting off track. The best way you can support the podcast is go to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a dope-ass 5-star rating and review. Kind of helps push us through all the other podcasts, kind of make us known and easier to find. If you do leave us a 5-star rating and review, we will gladly shout you out. Today's 5-star rating and review comes to us from our friend Erica. She says, 5 stars, fantastic. Not sure how I missed this podcast, but glad I found it now. Great host, topics, and production. Thanks, guys. Well, Erica, thank you.
Yeah, we're pretty easy to overlook. I mean, I'm not going to...
He's right.
Yeah, I mean, we are. We do not stand out in the crowd whatsoever.
We're kind of lames. But
that's true. I was assuming that the new 5-star was probably from our buddy, the Liberty Warrior.
I wasn't going to say it.
I mean, you might as well.
We're back here again.
You might as well.
He did leave us another review. It was exactly the same review as last time, except he just misspelled more shit. So whatever.
Hey, like I said, though,
we're petty as fuck. And so is he. So well, it kind of works out.
Yeah, it's fun. And we appreciate the downloads regardless. Whether you hate us or love us, you're still giving us downloads. So thank you. Thank you.
Now that the minute of pettiness with Stephen Kyle is over.
And we're unofficially sponsored by Monster, so.
Yeah, sponsorship's over. We're going to go right into our listener experience of the day. This comes to us from our friend Luke. He says, hi, guys. Just got done listening to your October 19th Shadow Person episode. This is my brief encounter with one of these things. My buddy referred me to your podcast recently. My bad for the mic breathing. So don't worry, Luke. I mic breathe too, so it works out.
Sick.
Here is Luke's story.
Hey, Steven and Kyle. This is Luke. I'm from Oregon. A buddy of mine listens to your podcast, and he told me I should send this over to you guys since you cover this kind of stuff. It's involving what you guys would call a shadow person. I'm relatively new to all this kind of stuff. But listening through some of your episodes, specifically the shadow person one from like October 2019, it's pretty surprising to me how common this is. So I figured I'd shoot it over and add it to the pile. This experience happened back in 2017. I went out with some friends for New Year's Eve 2016. So we went out for some drinks and we decided to go back to my buddy's place. He has this like old school VHS collection of like old school horror films and stuff. So we went back to his apartment and we're kind of just dicking around and setting things up, mixing stuff to drink and all that groovy stuff. And so anyway, he had something to talk to his girlfriend about upstairs. A couple of the other buddies went off to grab some food. So it was just me in the living room, like sitting on the couch. And I had put on a video just to kind of, dick around until they got back. And just to kind of give the layout of the apartment, you walk in front door and straight away you see a little hallway. And then you keep going straight, it's the living room. And then open floor plan, so you get the living room. You turn right, you get the kitchen. It's all open. You can see it all. And then stairs left to go upstairs. So when I'm sitting on the couch looking at the screen of the TV, to my left is the well-lit kitchen. And then about a 45-degree angle is the dark entryway / stairway. So I'm sitting there watching the video, and about that 45-degree angle, I watch a semi-see-through shadowy thing in the shape of like a head and torso of a person walk from the dark entryway into the lit kitchen, and then it just faded out. And that lasted for about maybe 2 seconds max. But it was just long enough where I started watching it walk into the kitchen area. I started walking from the entryway, and I could look over and I saw it just for a split second before it faded out. And 45-degree angle, it's not that far of a tilt for your eyes to go like shift over and look. I knew what I saw, like something obviously had been let itself in. And so my buddy from upstairs comes back down, and he's dicking around on on his phone on the couch. And I look over to him and I'm like, dude, have you ever seen anything weird in your apartment? And I didn't go into much detail, but immediately straight away, he's like, yeah, I wake up almost every night to this shadow thing standing in my doorway looking at me. And I went on to describe what I saw walk through into the kitchen, and he was like, yeah, that's probably the same thing. And he's like, did you get any feelings from, bad vibes from it? I'm like, no, I didn't feel any this way or that about it. It's just kind of, it happened, which I thought was kind of weird myself, honestly. And as we're talking about this, there's like a set of lights on the wall prior to the, right before the kitchen opens up. And, those things were flickering. I kid you not, like something out of a really cheesy horror film. Like it would flicker about 3 or 4 times in succession really quick and then stop and stay lit. And it would stay lit for another 20 seconds or so. And then they'd start flickering again 4 times in a row. And it would do another 20 seconds, it'd stay lit, and then do it again. And we were talking for a good, I'd say a good 5-7 minutes about it, and the entire time we were talking, those lights were doing their thing. And it was almost to the point where I almost started laughing because it was so ridiculous looking. I'm like, it almost seemed like somebody was fucking with me. I had something rigged up, you know. But, you know, sure shit, you know, you just can't make this stuff up, you know. Like, we were both just staring at the lights like, what the actual fuck is going on? But apparently he was explaining to me, you know, after the lights stopped, you know, he was explaining to me how he had a roommate staying there that he's pretty sure was into some, like, dark shit. Like, not necessarily Ouija board, but, like, he had, like, a little, like, shrine thing in his room. And he had, like, a book of spells and incantations and summoning rituals. Really, just really left field stuff. So he's thinking, the guy had already moved out a while back, but he's thinking that whatever the guy was into, like, we're thinking that he got something to stick around, you know, open something up. You know, and I've heard of Ouija boards, and I've heard that you can open up some doorways doing that stuff. So I stay very clear away from that kind of shit. But, you know, I'd never seen anything like that before. You know, I'm not really into I don't research paranormal stuff or nothing like that. And so when that happened, you know, that was my first encounter with something like that. And it really just made me pause for a minute, you know, and think, you know, what the hell is actually going on? And so since then, I've been kind of just reading up and listening to people's testimonies and, you know, trying to get abreast of, you know, really just how surprisingly common this is. And anyway, that was my experience. And first and last time, I hope to see something like that, because you just never know if it decides to come home and want to party with it at your own place, you know. And I don't feel vibing about that. So anyway, you guys, good job on the podcast. Really enjoy the banner and the content. I've tried doing that podcast stuff before, and it's you guys make it look easy. It's difficult, so props to you guys. All right, keep on keeping on, brothers. See ya.
Well, Luke, thanks for submitting your story. The first thing I thought is kind of like what's going on in my house. When you told your version of it, it kind of made me wonder if it was like a residual thing, because it just reminded me of the shadow that I have in my house. The shadow that I have moves the same exact way every single time. Like, it's the same thing every time I see it out of the corner of my eye. It's like it's just stuck in this perpetual loop over and over again. But when you said your buddy had seen him standing in the doorway, that's different.
Yeah, like every night. That kind of fucked me up. Well, then on top of that, you know, you went into how your buddy was into some dark shit, whether it be Ouija board or using spells and stuff. And, like, we've talked about that shit before. It's not very intelligent, although I did see a picture. You don't have Instagram, so I can't send it to you. But
sick. I'll take your word for it.
It was, like, the largest Ouija board ever made, and you can go there. It's like a park attraction.
Let's go.
And the planchette is big enough where people can get inside.
I think I've seen that picture.
But anyways.
Let's go.
I'd do it. But, yeah, it's just something that you probably shouldn't fuck with if you don't know anything about it. And even knowing about it, I still wouldn't advise it. Because I've been reading stories about people who delve into, like, witchcraft and shit. And it's almost like they have the intention of doing this said spell, but they fuck something up or they get the timing wrong. And the consequences are vast, and they just spin in the opposite direction that they meant for it to go.
Whoops.
Or you could be equally as dumb and try to actually summon something, and you're like, you know, how bad can a demon be? It says if I summon him, he serves me. And then you summon him, and he's like, yeah, joke's on you.
Psych. He would just look at my life and be like, nah, I'm good.
Your life sucks enough.
You'd be like, I'm out.
Yeah.
You'd be like, first let me bang out this water heater before I go.
I'm going back to hell.
But yeah, I think a lot of people, I don't know, I'm not speaking for anyone, but a lot of people get into that, the occult and stuff,
yeah,
of
huge.
That nature, to just to kind of dabble, you know, like look in. And like my favorite quote in the entire world is, you try to open a window to these things to look in. Well, sometimes that window's a door.
Right.
and shit comes through the door. And I mean, I guess shit could come through the windows too, but it's weird.
It is weird. And it would not be comfortable waking up every night to having a figure staring in your or standing in your doorway.
Accurate.
Even if it was residual, it still scared me every single time.
Yeah. Same. Are the experiences still happening at the residence? I'm curious if it's an ongoing thing, if there's anything you guys have tried to, like, maybe a cleansing ritual. I don't know if they work or not. Some people swear by them. Some people say they're just snake oil and everything else. Right. But it'd be worth a shot if it's causing enough drama.
Yeah, for sure.
To check it out.
For sure.
But, yeah, thanks, Luke, for sending that over. I hope, for your sake, you also do not ever have to deal with that again because
yeah.
Fuck them shadow people.
That's what I'm saying.
So from there, Kyle's about ready. He's clearing his throat, clearing the monster.
Go to the big feats.
Kyle's got a whole, did I say terror?
Yeah.
Oh, sick.
I wrote a couple pages on some Bigfoot encounters and
hell yeah.
I picked up a sweet book and it's called Bigfoot Terror in the Woods, Sightings and Encounters. And I think it's like the fourth volume of it. I don't quote me on that. But there's some pretty interesting ones in here so far.
Hell yeah. And picked up a bunch of books this weekend too.
It's kind of, I would say, borderline misleading so far about the, I guess, well, like the terror in the woods part. Like, I assumed that it would be like crazy stories, right? About Bigfoot kind of terrorizing people. But it really hasn't been so far. It hasn't been that way. I'm obviously going to keep reading.
It should have been titled Bigfoot Mildly Spooky in the Woods.
Yeah. Yeah. The second story I have for you guys is actually really fucking cool. But I'll go ahead and start off with the first one here. And this one involves a young man by the name of Boone English.
What a dope name.
Right? So, you know, when Boone was about 14 years old, he had an encounter with Bigfoot. But a little bit of backstory here was that his dad was actually a heavy equipment operator, and he would take part in, like, tons of jobs. But whenever he would go into, like, demolishing buildings or shit like that, he would keep all the scraps from it, all the metal. Because at the time, the Vietnam War was actually going on, and the price of metal was at an all-time high. So his dad kept all these metals separated behind his house. They had
scrapper.
Bins, right. And I love it because his dad called it his booty pile, his pile of all the goods.
God, I wish I had a booty pile.
Right? And, he says, like, they had several bins for brass, copper, aluminum, wire, shit like that. And it just so happened that Boone's father owned a scrapyard. So it kind of went hand in hand, right?
Weird.
And
perfect.
So Boone's father,
Mulligan,
his friend who owned the scrapyard, hired Boone. He's like, hey, if you ever want to come make some cash, you can come work here. I'll keep it off the record because you're 14. You just make, some side money here and there. And so, Boone was too young to drive. So, but realizing how much money he could make scrapping, he was like, you know what? I do have me a sweet Schwinn bike. I'm going to load her down with a couple baskets here. And then I'm going to take to the streets. So
I don't need
he first
school.
Yeah, he first started
scrap
going through residential trash cans.
My guy.
Taking metal. And he made some pretty decent money. Well, that's small fish. It didn't take long for Boone to figure out where the real money was at, and that was in the commercial dumpsters. Some dude started just straight diving in dumpsters, right?
And it's a Trailer Park Boys episode.
Pretty much. He would like strap hacksaws and shit to his bike and wrenches so he could take apart everything.
Bro Boone is not playing games.
He's not. He was all about that money.
He's trying to get racks.
And he did, you know, it says that like I made a few pretty big scores through these commercial jobs, right? So early one morning, Boone left to go start his rounds, right? And he said that he would normally start about 4 o'clock in the morning to kind of avoid most detection and the fact that those big dumpsters would turn into like giant ovens in the afternoon. He's like, it made it really hard to climb into whenever they were super blistering hot.
I understand.
So, you know, right.
He's being cautious. I respect that.
Right. And, you know, and over the course of doing this, Boone had learned his lesson a couple of times, just like straight opening dumpsters and jumping in them. I guess he'd had some pretty interesting run-ins with like raccoons and possums and what have you. So Boone started this new thing where before he would get in the dumpster, he would smack it with one of his wrenches or something to scare whatever was in there out.
Don't want to go come face to face with a rabid raccoon.
Right, yeah, that would not be very much fun. But so like I said, he gets up early, heads out to make his rounds. Well, he gets to his first spot, and it's actually behind a giant trailer park. It's three large dumpsters, and as luck would have it, these three dumpsters are backed right up next to a wood line. So Boone's riding up, and he starts hearing all this racket coming from one of the dumpsters. He's like, what in the hell is that? And he even notices that the lid of the dumpster is go like flapping up and down. Like, and he's thinking to himself, he's like, is there a fucking bear inside this dumpster? Like, what is going on? So he stops, and he's like, all right, whatever. He picks up a rock, and he chucks a rock at the dumpster. And he said, like, first, you know, the first one hit it, and he's like, it sounded like I walked up to it with a sledgehammer and started beating on the edge or the side of the dumpster. Like, that rock hit it, and it was just so loud. And he's like, and the next thing I knew was that fucking lid on that dumpster shot off the dumpster and out jumped this screaming gorilla. He's like, this thing.
That would be terrifying.
Absolutely.
So the name fits.
I guess
the trailer park.
It was a little misguidance on the wood section there. But he realized.
Terrifying.
Yeah. And Boone himself at 14 was about 6 foot tall. So he's a pretty decent sized dude. And he notes that the side of those dumpsters were about 5 feet tall, and the gorilla was at least 3 feet taller than the side of those.
Damn.
So you're talking a solid 8 foot there.
My question is, was the Bigfoot also
scrapping
scrap metal?
Probably.
That's what I.
Why would he not? Like, right.
He's gotta make racks.
Well, he's gotta get that booty too.
Goddamn booty pile.
I'm telling you. But he said that the Bigfoot, when it literally like in one jump, jumped up and over the edge of the dumpster, like no problem whatsoever.
Flat-footed right over top.
Yeah, just boop. And you know, he hit the ground next to the dumpster, and Boone was like, all it just stood there next to his dumpster, grunting and growling like a wild dog. It was so loud that lights in the trailer park started to come on. Like other people were hearing the racket. And Boone was standing in the dark, and he assumed whether it did or not, but he assumed that this angry gorilla didn't see him because it didn't try to attack him or anything. And about that time, there were men who started coming out of their homes and towards the area to investigate the sound. And at that point, that's when Bigfoot turn and run into the woods. And one of these guys actually came up to Boone and was like, what is going on with all this racket? And Boone told him, you know, he's 14 years old. He's like, there was a giant fucking gorilla that jumped out of this trash can. And they're like, you're nuts. You're out here pulling shit. Get out of here. So he leaves. He goes home. And I'm sure he's scared. You know, he's like, what in the fuck was going on? So he tells his dad. He's like, Dad, here's what happens. And his dad, he didn't necessarily believe Boone, but he also knew that Boone wasn't much of a liar. He didn't fib a lot. So he's like, you know what? Let's go check it out. Show me what, when and where it happened. So Boone's like, all right. So they go back to the place. They walk up to where the Bigfoot jumped out of the dumpster, and it just so happened that there were large human-like feet pounded about 2 inches into the dirt. And at that moment, he's like, the look on my dad's face was like, oh, shit. What the hell? He's like, what the fuck is a gorilla doing in Florida?
Swamp ape.
I mean, obviously. And that's basically where Boone ended the story there. Because that was the end of his encounter. But he ended up making, you know, his dad was a believer. Now his dad thought that it was just
his
a straight up gorilla.
His dad probably thought he was on drugs when he was telling the story.
Maybe.
Like, Boone, you're 14. You've been dabbling?
Dabbling in the crack?
Well, I'm going to go that route. But right for it, crack, the gateway drug.
The end all be all. So I'm going to go into the next story here. And this one, for me, this one, it kind of takes the cake. Because there's nothing bad about it, but I don't know. I'll get to it when I get to it. So
I mean, it would be terrifying. Like, I'm a 36-year-old dude, and if I walked up on a Bigfoot in the dumpster.
Dude, if I walked up on a Bigfoot anywhere.
I wouldn't even hang out to, like, see what it did. I'd just go, nope, turn around.
Walking up on a Bigfoot anywhere would be terrifying, I think.
Yeah. Because they'll kill you.
They very well could.
For taking their scrap.
I'm sure people do get a little testy over scrap piles. Mm-hmm. So anyways, moving on into a different locale. And this is actually relatively recent. This one happened in 2015. And it happened in the Rocky Mountain National Park involving Brian Lynch and some of his buddies. Now, these guys were hiking through some of the trails. And they've been walking for a little bit. And they say, so Brian's like, we saw like these three rocks that were flat-faced. And they were just basically calling our name to sit down and take a break. So we're like, all right, cool. They all sit down. Brian and his buddy were looking away from the oncoming trail, and his other buddy was looking towards it. You know, but they were sitting there just kind of chilling, recharging, eating some snacks, drinking some Gatorade and some water and whatnot. And all of a sudden, his buddy's like, hey, there's somebody coming down the trail. And it wasn't just a couple seconds after that. The same guy who said that goes, what the hell is that? And so they all spun around and...
Hey, Hollow Cult, the weather's getting nice, and you know what that means. It's cryptid hunting season. And the first rule to cryptid hunting is good footwear. That's why we're excited to announce our partnership with Tecovas Boots. When you're out hunting the Dogman or stalking Chupacabra, you don't have time to break in boots. That's why Tecovas is so nice. They have first wear comfort. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with their styles when you're out hunting cryptids.
And let me tell you, their styles are on point. I've always considered getting me a pair of snakeskin boots, and their pair is mint. They also have crocodile boots, caiman boots, ostrich boots, regular leather boots. They have it all, and it's ridiculously awesome. You can even stop by the local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So just imagine yourself getting a pair of legitimate snakeskin Hollow Sky branded boots. How awesome would that be?
Nothing is going to intimidate a dog man like a nice pair of gator skin boots. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Brian's like, we were all just completely blown away by what was standing on the trail. About 125 feet away, there was a large dark creature. They all noticed, or the basically all parties involved were locked in a stalemate and just were staring at each other. And Brian said, at this moment is when Bigfoot started like rocking back and forth. And you hear that a lot with these Bigfoot encounters, that it rocks for some reason. But I also,
it's like an aggressive or a defensive stance, making itself try to look bigger, maybe.
Maybe, but that's not how this particular story goes. But side note, I actually thought this was fucking hilarious because every time that I write, I listen to music, and like when I read that, instantly in my head, I go, is this motherfucker having a dance off right now? Is he challenging him to a dance off? And that, like literally the thought that popped in my brain.
Like in the Goofy movie?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yes. Why would I not?
Oh, no. It's the only thing I can think of.
All right. But, you know, back to the story. Brian said that all of a sudden he was filled with this overwhelming sense of despair and loneliness. And none of the guys were talking at this time. And Brian's like, I wasn't afraid of the animal. I felt bad for it. Like it was like it put out this spiritual flood, and it just felt like this thing was so lonely and like it was just in a fucked up spot.
That's depressing.
Right. And that's exactly how later on all these guys feel. But it was kind of hilarious in a way, because I feel like out of like a panic nervousness, a lot of people would do this. So Brian's like, so they have this whole, they're still staring at each other. Brian and unknowingly his buddies are all feeling like shit. Like they're just so distraught. And what's Brian do? He looks at the Bigfoot and goes, hello there. We're your friends. Like he literally raises his hand, waves at this thing, goes, hello, we're your friends.
And then they got eaten.
No, and actually, Bigfoot even more said, of an ironic,
I'm your friend too.
An ironic twist, he said Bigfoot raises his hand and nods his head back.
Gave him a what's
and
up.
And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly
just
what
a
happened.
Bro, what's up?
So awesome. And then it wasn't long after that, Bigfoot like basically turned to his left and started walking out into the woods, which is just kind of bizarre. They both acknowledge each other. They're like, hey.
You're cool.
Hey.
You're cool. All right, see ya.
I'm going to go this way. So the guys were like, well, fuck it, let's go up here. So they walk up the path and they look into the woods to where Bigfoot was walking, and Bigfoot turns around, acknowledges him once more, looks at him, and then he goes, Bigfoot disappeared. And he's like, I'm not talking like turn a corner and you couldn't see him anymore. Yeah, he's like, it just went poof.
Because he's an interdimensional being, dog.
So bizarre.
A lot of people don't want to hear that, but this is my show.
It's true.
So here, he's an interdimensional being.
Yeah. But going back, just a hair here, whenever they were waving at each other, it kind of in a way blows your mind, because that would suggest that Bigfoot can either understand our language or at least understand our intention, if that makes sense.
Mannerisms.
Yeah, yeah. Because he mimicked it. You know, he threw his hand up and nodded back. But Brian noted that when he first saw Bigfoot and they had that whole despair feeling, he's like, I felt like it didn't know how to communicate to us how shitty it felt. Like, it did this whole, like, spiritual thing, you know, and he's like, but I just felt like it didn't know how to communicate with us in that manner. And it's even more bizarre that, is it possible that Bigfoot can push its feelings onto you? Like, which
I can see that
in a way, like, wouldn't that be kind of like a form of, because you hear about it, you would think that would be kind of like a psychic type of ability, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And I know that I've heard reports where Bigfoot has communicated with people through telepathy, which is bizarre as fuck.
I just keep picturing in my head, like, him walking down the trail and then them having this big stare down, trying to figure out what the fuck's going on. And then all of a sudden, Brian and his buddies start feeling like shit. Like, man.
Yeah, they felt bad for Bigfoot.
This sucks that he's out here by himself. So Brian's like, yo, won't kill you. Bigfoot's like, oh, sick, won't kill you either. See ya.
Like, this story, like, that right, that I'm the same way. That part blows me away.
I wonder.
Blows me away.
More people, if any of our listeners out there have had a Bigfoot encounter, I know there's a ton of you out there that have seen it and stuff. Have you ever had it
wave at you?
Hey, mimic what you were doing, because that's all it could be. It could be animal mimicry or
absolutely
interdimensional being mimicry.
Absolutely.
And have you ever felt like it was portraying its emotions on you? Because that's
bizarre.
I've heard it before, but it's not very common.
Right.
And if they are, if you have, are they sad emotions? I'm curious now.
Yeah.
If this is a commonality.
Yeah. And once the guys got talking about it afterwards, they all came to that conclusion that, you know, like, one guy described it as, I felt like I was at a fucking funeral.
Bigfoot was probably terrified that a bunch of good old boys were going to fucking murder him.
It's possible.
What I'm thinking.
Or maybe Bigfoot had just lost somebody or something shitty happened to him.
Or he wasn't a good enough Bigfoot not to get seen by humans.
Valid point.
He's like, shit.
You know, I don't know. I as simple as this story was, I just found it really fucking fascinating. I don't know. It was a really good story for
me. What a wild range of emotions you would have at that exact minute. Because you'd be terrified because it's Bigfoot. You'd be stoked as fuck because it was Bigfoot.
Right.
You
apparently feel like shit.
You would have anxiety because it's Bigfoot.
Right.
And then on top of that, you're like, man, seeing Bigfoot really makes me sad. And I don't know why.
poor fella.
Yeah.
Want some Gatorade?
It could have been parched.
It's very well. They probably should have asked if it wanted some Gatorade.
Selfish.
Get them electrolytes back up.
Selfish.
Now, for the last story that I have, this one easily takes the cake of the three as far as
scariness.
Yes, as far as scariness. And there's some things in here that are pretty bizarre. But
do we need a content warning?
No, it doesn't get crazy, but you'll pick up what I'm putting down when I get to it.
Sick.
You will. It's not. I think you'll be kind of in awe like I was. But anyways,
fuck yeah, let it run, let it eat.
So
bro,
for the last encounter, we go to Shane, who is an avid bow hunter. His encounter took place on September 14th, 2014. So Shane has this hunting spot, and it's his favorite hunting spot. He always goes here because the game is always fruitful. You know, he's been in and out of this place so many times that he actually had just, prior to this encounter, he had replaced his deer stand because it was actually starting to rust out. So he's been in this spot for a minute. Now, Shane goes on to describe the layout of where he was at. And like I'll try to paint the visual, but he said, just imagine a bowl within a bowl. So I picture you have like these hills way up here, and then it kind of recesses down into a valley-ish and then kind of dips down again.
Yeah, that's what I was seeing too.
And Shane says that the area that he hunts is super dense. It's super hard to navigate because all the vegetation is so densely packed, and most of the brush is about 4 foot to 8 feet tall. So Shane's like, you really can't hunt in this area unless you're up high. You can see down on a game trail, and there was a game trail that went past his stand. Now, he said his stand was roughly about 25 feet off the ground. And, you know, on this particular morning, he walks in before the sunrise gets situated, and he said that it was pretty common for the area to have this like a fog, misty type scenario first thing in the morning. But usually around 9 a.m., it would kind of dissipate and he could actually start hunting. So he's chilling in his deer stand, kind of waiting for this fog to disappear. And he also noted that with the dense brush and the fog and the mist, his vision, he could only see about out 75 feet or so. That's about as far as he could see. So, like I said, he's hanging out, waiting for all of the conditions to go right, and he starts to hear noises. And he said they sound like owls, little hoots and screeches coming in succession. It started off as one, but then it kind of started to multiply, like more and more. And he goes on to describe this situation, which I find very interesting. He said all the sounds were coming from directly in front of him. And he makes this observation that I haven't heard before. But he says all the noises that he was hearing weren't real, because he knew the local owl population and species. He knew what their sounds were like, and he knew that these sounds were being purposely faked. Something or someone out there was mimicking owl calls.
That's creepy.
Extremely creepy.
It's creepy. Especially to be out there
all by yourself,
listening, and you hear something that seems familiar, but then you realize
it's not.
That's not right.
Yeah.
Fucking Wendigos, I tell you.
Oh, dude. So he said that the thing made it the most obvious about the calls being faked were the amount of calls being made. So I'm assuming that it was in such succession,
like
that
an army
normal
of owls.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said it literally sounded like a war party was out there in front of him.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But he also said that at this point is when dread started to wash over him. And he's like, I wish I would have brought a gun instead of a bow.
Heard that.
Dude, I would have been freaking out.
Heard that.
And, you know, he goes on to say that in all the times that I've been at this location, I've never felt like this before. He said he felt like his psychological state was tumbling out of control and he couldn't do anything about it. And then here we are. On top of all that, the hooting got super intense, and he describes it almost like a war party was going on in the fog in front of him. He started to wonder if he should just climb down and make his way out of this spot. But then he's like, you know what? I should probably just stay where I'm at because I'm off the ground. I'm 25 feet up. So whatever the fuck's out there is below me, and I should be able to see it before it sees me. And I have the advantage of height on my side. He's like, my heart was pounding so fucking hard. And he's like, I actually, like, sweat was dripping off my brow. I was so nervous.
It'd be terrible.
So, at this point, like I said, Shane is roughly about 25 feet off the ground. His feet were, because he was sitting in like a ladder stand, and you have this little shelf below your seat where your feet would go. And he said it was easily 20 feet off the ground. Well, Shane's sitting there just scared out of his fucking mind, wishing this was all over, when all of a sudden something grabbed the heel of his left boot. And he's like,
what?
I looked down and I was staring into the face of a huge Sasquatch.
How high up was he in the tree?
His feet were 20 feet high.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yep. And he said that when it grabbed him, he jumped and he almost fell out of the tree stand because of it.
Had it like climbed up the tree?
No.
It was
standing.
You're talking like a 15 foot tall Bigfoot.
That's exactly the site or the size he quotes it as, 15 feet.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big boy.
Yeah. So, you know, and here we go again. Bigfoot let him go and then started swaying back and forth.
It's so weird.
When they were staring at each other.
It's got to be some kind of defense. Some sort of defense thing.
It probably is. And Shane started realizing all that fucking noise that I was hearing was done on purpose as a distraction. So this one could come up behind him and get the drop on him.
And then let him go.
Well, I don't know why it let him go, but Shane, and he even recalls, he's like, when that thing was looking at me, it looked like it had the most evil smile on its face. But he also notes, he's like, was that grimacing look just my perception of it? Because it's a huge fucking creature.
Might just be the only face he has.
Right. You know, and that he acknowledges that. He's like, it doesn't mean that it was evil, because the way that it grabbed me, it didn't grab me hard. It grabbed me like it was telling me, I could literally do whatever I want to you.
That's what I was thinking.
And he's like, I honestly thought that the next thing it was going to do was reach up and grab the foot tray off my deer stand and rip me out of the tree and eat me. And he's like, and also while we were staring face to face, I wanted to put a broadhead between its fucking eyes.
But he didn't.
He didn't.
Because he was scared.
I'm sure that's what 90% of that was. He was so scared he couldn't move.
I love that the Bigfoot was just letting him know, like grabbing his boot, like,
yep,
you're not the only hunter here, dog.
Yeah, and he's like, it barely grabbed my foot. He's like, if it wanted to, it could rip my leg off.
And just letting you know.
Yeah. And I don't
mind your business.
that I don't know. That might have
I
been
hope the, that's what he said.
Yeah. I have no fucking clue. But after they have this little short stare down and Shane almost realizing what it could have done to him, he's like, all of a sudden, Bigfoot just turns around and starts walking down the game trail. And which we've talked about many a times before, at this encounter time, you know, I guess from the time that he took notice of Bigfoot, he's like, the entire forest was dead quiet.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that.
Dead quiet. He's like, you couldn't hear anything. You couldn't hear anything.
I love that Bigfoot just turned and walked away like, you're not going to do shit. You're
yeah. Do what would you do? He said, nothing. Right here, run he away. Said, Bigfoot took about 10 steps and covered 75 feet. Which if it's 15 foot tall, that's not irrational.
No, that's a big foot.
And at this moment, Shane goes on to note, at this exact moment, I started pissing my pants. He's like, I have no idea why I actually started pissing myself, but I did.
Just primal fear.
Yeah. He said that he felt like he was on hard drugs. Like he felt like he was completely disconnected from reality. He was only about a half a mile from where his car was parked. And after seeing Bigfoot, he sat there in that tree stand for an additional 2 hours.
Letting his pants dry.
To try and regain his composure. He said it felt like it took 20 minutes to climb down the ladder, which when he got down, he took another 30 to 40 minute break to try to recompose himself. By the time he got back to his car, it was noon.
I'm telling you.
Shane called off work for the next 8 days straight. It took him over 8 days to mentally repair himself from what he had, you know, what took place.
I'm telling you, they're beings from alternate dimensions, and we just perceive them as these cryptids. Dude, maybe
you might be right.
Maybe old boy caught a glimpse at what this thing really was, and his brain kind of just got a
wrinkle
in it.
That's almost exactly how he describes it. Like his whole psychological state. He's like, it was like time was moving completely different than what it does. That's like, obviously it was still moving, but the way that I perceived it was way fucking different than normal.
That'll always be my theory, because I feel like we're seeing stuff that we can't explain. So we're making up, our brains are making up things, you know. Like letting us know, hey, this isn't supposed to be here. This isn't right.
Right.
But it's not what we're really seeing, because our brains will not be able to handle it.
Which, to play into that, I mean, that could also explain people's subtle variances in their encounters. Because it's your brain depicting what's in front of you. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Because we're all different individuals, so maybe there is that varying factor, like...
Maybe with the...
Mine has red eyes, but Steve's had no eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe with the previous encounter, instead of feeling fear, their brain was trying to get them to get the fuck out of there with sadness.
Right, right.
Like, you are going to be fucking sad if you see what's on the other side of this Bigfoot.
It's possible, dude. And you know what? I give Shane props, because once winter sat back in, he walked back into this place.
Fuck that.
Yep. He walked back to exactly where it happened. And he basically just, I don't really know why he did it, but this is where, you know, he's like, I was standing beneath my tree stand, and that fucker would have had to been at least 14 to 15 feet tall.
That's exactly what I thought.
To be able to reach me like that.
I was giving him longer arm length than us.
Yeah, for sure.
He probably got a 5 foot reach.
At least.
One arm. That's why I said 15.
Yeah.
So that's fucking huge.
Dude. Like, you would, because when I was reading the story, I fully expected Bigfoot to have climbed the tree.
That's what I thought when you said he grabbed his boot.
No, and
I'm this motherfucker climb up the tree.
When I'm reading this, I have that same question. I'm like, is he climbing the tree or is he standing on the ground?
Yeah, because how would he have not noticed the 1,000-pound Bigfoot crawling up the tree?
No, but he went on to say that he was flat-footed, standing on the ground.
That is also, like I said before, anybody that's had any experiences with that, have you, anyone that's seen a Bigfoot, interacted with a Bigfoot, have you had...
Jesus, if you've had an encounter like this, let us know.
Those intense emotional feelings, you hear it a lot.
You do.
But it makes me wonder...
You hear it in a lot of different situations, too. Like, it's not just Bigfoot.
Yeah. Your brain's trying to make sense of shit that you don't understand.
It might be onto something with that.
That's even more terrifying. I would much rather deal with Wendigos and Skinwalkers and Bigfoots and Chupacabras and Loch Ness Monsters than unspeakable, unfathomable horrors from alternate dimensions that our brain can't comprehend.
Yeah, where if you actually saw it, it would just shatter your brain.
Yeah, and you're just done.
That is scary.
I'll take a Bigfoot.
I'm with you.
I'll take a wood predator.
I'm with you. At least then all you got to do is stay out of the woods.
Yeah. Hell, they might be in here right now, and our brains are like, you can't see them.
Dude, and I hear more and more on that theory that, I mean, it's just like the upside down in Stranger Things. Like, it's there,
but it's
not there.
We got our blinders on.
Yeah, yeah.
There could be interdimensional beings, just...
Well, even in our privileged conversation the other day, like, dude suggested that is a real possibility.
I don't want to think about it.
It's fucking wild.
It probably is.
Fucking wild.
You probably got an interdimensional sack on your shoulder right now.
I hope so. I hope so.
Interdimensionally teabagged right now.
I hope so.
I'm a fucking teenager.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah, that.
Before you wrap this up, I was going to shout this out. I'm super stoked on this new documentary that's coming out. It's called Sasquatch. It's going to be on Hulu.
Sick.
And I was telling you about it the other day.
Yeah.
But here's the synopsis. It's a 3-part documentary.
Is that a recreation or actual footage?
It's probably not actual footage.
Sounds like, damn, that's sick.
How'd they catch that? But it says, while visiting a pot farm in Northern California in 1993, investigative journalist David Holthouse heard a story that still haunts him. On a nearby farm, 3 men were torn limb from limb by a savage Bigfoot attack. The documentary follows David as he revisits the Redwoods 25 years later in search of any evidence that might lead to the truth of what happened that night. As he pulls at the threads of the story, he'll be taken down a path that's far more terrifying than anyone would have imagined.
Dude, that sounds awesome. I want to find those types of stories because you know damn good and well those ones exist. And they're a lot harder to find than these little casual encounters.
Yeah, our first Bigfoot episode, we found a couple that were pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
But this comes out April 20th. We're not sponsored by Hulu, but this is dope, and I figured you guys would probably want to watch it. It's called Sasquatch.
I'll probably Hulu. Watch that. That sounds good.
420, dog.
I hope
the
Bigfoot...
weed farm drops on 420. Dude, marketing genius.
I hope Bigfoot is just out there toking bongs.
Bigfoot bong ripper.
Fucking weird.
Everything's full circle now.
Synchronicities.
Well, anyway, that wraps up another Bigfoot episode. Thank you guys for tuning in, hanging out with us. You all are dope.
Amazing.
And, you know, I was going to say something here at the end, but I forgot what the fuck it was. Oh, yeah, make sure if you're on Facebook, go over to our Cryptid March Madness and place your vote. You guys have been doing awesome. That's still going. I think we're on the third round right now. We got one more before we go to the semifinals.
Somebody commented or messaged me on Instagram and was like, yeah, my wife's going with the Army of the Fae all the way. And then they stab us with all the forks that they steal.
Oh, those fuckers.
And I'm like, that's awesome.
Bro, Wendigo's been stomping.
There are a lot of people that were calling Wendigo going the whole way.
Yeah.
Which Wendigo is an OG, man. Like when we were talking, Wendigo versus Bigfoot is probably gonna be.
I threw some dog shit ass cryptids in there. Nobody knew, like the Beaver Run Snow Gator.
And they're like, no.
I don't think he's got one fucking bone.
That sucks, poor guy.
The Puckwudgie did way better than I thought he was gonna do.
I hope.
He looks mean.
Was
as
that
fuck.
The one that was up against Chupacabra?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
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 Shauna said that they were all voting for him. I'm like, well, he does look like a pissed off wizard. So
yeah, he had like a hatchet or some shit.
Yeah.
Of course he's.
Yeah. I'm kind of leaning. Wendigo is probably my favorite cryptid, so I'm rooting for Wendigo. I'm
trying to think. I set the brackets up. I don't know who from the other side. Skinwalker's on the other side, I think.
Oh really? So it'd be Skinwalker That would be a tough one.
I don't know.
And I think realistically, Bigfoot versus Wendigo is going to be a tough one. I think that'll be a close call.
Bigfoot's a bad bitch. He tears.
Dude, I'm telling you,
tears weed dudes limb from limb.
The only old Wendy's got him is on speed.
That's true. And if there's a bunch of them, well, the internet's not working, so
yeah,
that's sick.
Did you do the Fae versus the goblins?
Yeah, Fae smoked them.
Good. I wanted the Fae to win.
Who do we have over here? Wendigo's on one side, Bigfoot's on one side.
Yeah.
Skinwalker's on. It could be Skinwalker and Wendigo.
That'd be tough.
Could be Bigfoot versus Yeti.
I think Wendigo takes Yeti.
This week we got Makela Membe versus Skinwalker and... No, that's not true. Mongolian Deathworm versus Makela Membe and Skinwalker versus Beaver Run Snowgator. And on the other side, we got Bunyip versus the Madgasser Mattoon and the Loveland Frogman versus a gray alien. So, get your votes in until I decide not to do it anymore. Because I don't have a set vote period. When I'm feeling it, I'm like, you know what? Votes are over.
Done.
But anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in. You guys are dope. Thanks for listening.
Appreciate
to
you.
Yak for the last hour. Make sure you tell all your friends. Keep this grassroots movement going. You guys are the
Hell
best.
Yeah.
Check us out on all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, pretty much anywhere where your Hollow Sky can be found. Come over, hang out with us, continue to be dope. Until we meet again, stay safe, stay weird, and if you see a Bigfoot, just continue thinking that it's a Bigfoot and not an interdimensional being that will shatter your brain.